Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church.
So I spend a lot of time in Trader Joe's. I've been doing that probably 5, 6, 7 months now. And so I buy my organic kale and my organic frozen berries, crushed flax seeds, chia seeds, almond milk, and I put it all together and drink it. And I'm doing this because my family wants me to get better vitamins in me. And actually, you know, when you put a banana and some peanut butter in it, it's not as bad as it seems. But the peanut butter is organic and no sugar there. So anyway, I really just been in Trader Joe's. I hadn't been in Acme in a long time. Have you been in our local Paoli Acme and seen all the changes that are happening there? As they are reframing themselves in Acme. They're opening a bar. They have beer and wine that they're going to be selling now. There's a Starbucks that's going to be there. Their produce area is opened up and they have pre-made meals. Does this sound like any other? Who might they be reframing themselves to look like? The store down the road, Wegmans, right? So, little competition so they know what's going on there. So we pray for Acme that good things happen for them and they are reframing themselves well. Because sometimes when you reframe, you don't do a very good job at it. For instance, Clairol shampoo back in the 80s came up with two shampoo names. The look of buttermilk and the touch of yogurt. Those were real shampoo names. Yogurt. Really? It didn't go so well. So Harley Davidson, right? Harley Davidson can sell anything. Motorcycles, of course. Hats, jackets, vests, you name it. Harley Davidson can sell it, right? They came up with Harley Davidson perfume and cologne. It didn't go over very well. I was wondering if it smelled like leather or exhaust. And you know, when you push the little button, it went kind of get it going there. Do you remember the Apple Newton? Apple Newton. Back in the 90s, they came up with this bizarre, ridiculous concept of this thing that you would hold, kind of like a tablet shape that you would hold, and it would act like a computer. Didn't go well at all. People weren't ready for that. How many of us have tablets now? But in the 90s, the Newton did not work at all. And then lastly, I think of Domino's Pizza. What's their motto? We deliver fast, right? When I was in college, they did a great job of delivering it fast, but do you remember Domino's Pizza? It tastes awful. Awful. So their refrain was, not only did they need to deliver fast, but they needed to deliver good pizza. They reframed themselves to do that. We reframe ourselves all the time. Raise your hands high, and I know there are three of you. Who out there has clothes from the 1970s in your closet that you're still wearing? Okay. Yeah, we're all embarrassed for you. I remember the 70s. We reframe ourselves in other ways. My father retired, and the next week I got this big box. And in the box was a package filled with all of his ties. He was never wearing a tie again, he said, after he retired. We reframe ourselves in different ways. We go back to school. We change shifts in career. We change a focus in what we're doing in our families. We reframe ourselves constantly without even recognizing it. Scripture this morning is talking about Israel at a time when they were reframing themselves, recreating who God had called them to be from the beginning, and so they're starting over again as we turn to Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. Then those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their ancestors. They stood up in their place and they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth part of the day. And for another fourth, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. Then Yahuwah, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Shanani stood on the stairs of the Levites and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Yeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, name your child that if you're having one, Sherebaniah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah. And they said, stand up and bless the Lord your God for everything to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And this is God's word to each one of us this day. If you've been with us for this Reform series for the past 4 weeks, we have done 600 years of history in 4 weeks. This is a high school social studies student dream. 4 points to remember in 600 years of history. But we have done it. And we have gotten to this place now, from David to Nehemiah. 600 years there, where Nehemiah, part of those captives who were sent off after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, sent off into captivity, were now in the mid-400s. Most of the people coming back to Jerusalem weren't even born at the time when families left. And they're here to reframe. Literally reframe as they build the wall and they build the temple. That Nehemiah got permission to do that. Literally reframing, but reframing themselves also as they recognize that process of returning, repenting, refocusing, and reframing. As I was working on this week, it brought me right back to my high school days when I used to throw pots. And it all made so much sense as I was working my way through this. When you throw pots, and I don't mean, when you're throwing pots on a wheel, you get clay. And the first thing that you have to do with this clay is wedge it. It's very different than what you do with dough, how you fold over dough. It's a different kind of thing. Wedging is you push. You push into the clay. You keep pushing into the clay to get all the bubbles out, to get everything away so that it's solid clay all the way through. You want to say that you're done at the time that I just did it right there. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to wedge through a piece of clay. You don't want to stop as you're pushing and you're getting all those bubbles out there so that you return back to the way that it was intended before it goes on the wheel. The next thing you do once you're done with your wedging is you slam it onto the center of the wheel. You hit it hard as you can, to smash it out, to get it to that place where it's ready to be refocused. Repentance, that hard hit, after returning to the clay as it should be, that repentance in that slam. Then you slowly begin to kick your wheel. You get water on your hands, and here's the hard part, because you really need to push your elbow into your body as you're down there, and you're holding on to this clay as it's turning, and you want to get this clay in the middle of that wheel so that it's a perfect cylinder. once that cylinder of clay is refocused, then with your finger gently there towards the middle, letting the force find that middle place, pull down into that clay, and then pull out, and you form the pot as it's supposed to be. Presbyterians, reformed, continually being reformed. I think that's misused at times. That, you just kind of do whatever you want to as you continue to reform things. The reality is we have to go to that biblical place that we've looked at. You need to return to God. You need to repent so that God can cleanse. You need to be refocused, and then you need to be reframed as God would have you be. Thanksgiving is coming up. It's just this week, isn't it? It's amazing. A lot of us will gather with either family or friends. And so I have a challenge for you as you think about what this means to be reframed. As you return, repented, and been refocused, what then does it look like to be reframed? Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If I abide in you and you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit. We know that verse together well from the fall and every time we gather around the communion table. Vine and branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're reframed, the first thing that you purposefully need to do, walking into a situation, is remember who you're connected to. Becky did a beautiful job with our children this morning, reminding them of the pledge that's made to them every week and who they're connected to through that. And so they made that pledge to the sweet child. So in every family situation that you walk into, in every situation this week, even going into grocery stores that may be a little crowded, be reframed. Remember who you are connected to. And respond that way. Young Life just sent out its 75th anniversary magazine. They're celebrating all that they've done in reaching out to high school students first and now beyond just high school students. Jim Rayburn started that ministry with the quote, it's a sin to bore a kid. A sin to bore a kid. And so now, 75 years later, they're focusing on the words, come and see. Come and see. When people, how can you believe any of that? How do you know any of that? How can you find absolute truth? They're reminding people, being reframed there on their same purpose, to be people that invite and just say, come and see. Come and see what God is doing. Come and see how God is making a difference. Remember this week, practice being attached to the one in whom you're attached. Second thing is, to listen. Listen. Oftentimes the words that people are saying are not everything that they mean. We all know that, right? But how often do we react so quickly to words? And so the second part of being reframed is to take the time to listen and probe a little bit then. Ask some questions that help you understand where a person is at. And then you can move forward with them. We've even done that as a church. In this process with Kevin Graham 4 that we're going through this year, the first thing that we did was listen. We had all kinds of surveys and small groups and time with deacons and elders, and we listened. Listen. What's joyful? What's challenging? What's hard? What's fun? We just listened and spent time doing that before we responded at all. So as a reframed person of Christ, make sure that you take time to listen. Remember who you're connected to, and take time to listen. But then don't stop there. Don't stop there. 97.82% of you are good people here, right? I won't have you raise your hands to the 3%, right? We're good people, right? So we're going to do these things. We're going to remember who we're connected to. We're going to listen. But you know what? The hardest thing to do sometimes is that third thing, that responding. That responding and remembering to reach out and to speak and to touch and to comfort. That's that last part that we often forget. For the gift that we can share as we are reframed is each part, each one of those. Beautiful. So practice it this week, this Thanksgiving week, with your family, friends, in the grocery store, wherever you might be. And remember the image of returning to God, refocusing, and reframing. So I know a number of you have been in my office, and you see that I like books. I read a lot of books. And if you walk around my library, you can be confused. Because I have books that you're like, wow, what's he reading both those for? So for instance, I have my George Bush book right next to my Hillary Clinton book. And so, you know, people look at that sometimes and go, well, so what are you? I go, well, I just want to learn. I want to hear, I want to learn, I want to understand. And so I read a lot, as much as I can get, on the news also. And so there was an article this Friday that was just like this gift for a preacher. This beautiful gift for a preacher. So it came from one of our newly hired advisors to our national government. And I read through the whole article because I was really shocked when I read this quote, but I read through the whole article. And so they weren't abusing the person that said these words. In fact, this person really hopes for great things to happen in our country, for the infrastructure to grow and for healthcare to be out there for folks. And this, I mean, said a lot of good things in the article. But there's one thing that just really hit me hard as I read it. The quote is this. He said, "Darkness is good. Darkness is good. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan. Power is good." I was shocked when I read it. Shocked when I read it. And I wanted to call Dick Cheney up and just ask, hey buddy, how do you feel about being in this list? And then I wanted to call the guy up and say, you know, I don't know your spiritual life, and I understand that you're talking about power and strength and moving forward. I get what you're saying, but I need to tell you cinematically and theologically, you're wrong. You remember what happens to Darth Vader at the end? He's conquered by what? Love and light. That's power. And that other guy that's mentioned in the quote, that Satan guy, do you remember the end of the story that we already know? When John tells us what will conquer the darkness? Light will conquer the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. So be people of hope in your families, in this church, in this community. Don't abuse this guy for his bad theology. If you ever run into him, encourage him with some good theology. Because Jesus is power. And Jesus is light. Jesus is truth. And Jesus is hope. So as we